Boss, then Checks in the Mail. That'd be followed by Big Meansy, then came Apert de Vu, Crusoe, further away the Kakou Express, back towards the tail of the field, Villa Alba with Bixby, Dancing Donna. Back with him also was Lady Clissar and Thinking Out Loud.
And the winner, number six, Centre Stage, 650 and 220 over eight. She's the Boss at 250 and one Checks in the Mail, $1.90. 681 over the line on the first at Matta Matta. We've got Greyhound Racing from Hattrick, the first race there in about 3 to 4 minutes. The favourite, number two, Timely Reminder, $2.104. That's it for Racing HQ this morning. Stay tuned. Next is Tab Talk. Among our guests, we'll look at Warrnambool and, of course, the program for us at Warwick Farm.
Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader, has all the action covered.
Miracles of life, Dive got up! The pint-sized man got up to score!
Previews, trackside updates, calls, dividends, and all the colour from the winner's circle.
She is just a star.
No, it was great, especially for her to come back here and do what she did, you know, it's fantastic.
It's what racing is all about, the full story, here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
When your multi is going well, sometimes you wish you could just take the money and run. Well, now
you can eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out. It's not a decision I take lightly, but when I do, it's an amazing feeling to land
with that cash in my hand. Eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out. Available at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly. When your multi is going well, sometimes you wish you could just take the money and run. Well, now
you can eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out. It's not a decision I take lightly, but when I do, it's an amazing feeling to land
with that cash in my hand. Eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out. Available at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
Bloodstock.com.au is Australia's largest online racehorse trading website, allowing you to quickly and easily trade on your former favourites to help fund your next champion. Bloodstock.com.au helps sell horses across all categories, from tried horses and broodmares right through to weanlings, yearlings and even stallions. List your horse today for only $99 and receive inquiries straight away. Head to Bloodstock.com.au, the simple way to trade every day.
Starter has the button, stalls are back and racing.
Feel bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
You're off on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And very good morning to you. It's coming up to 4 minutes after 10. In just a moment, we'll check in with Glenn Munsey. On the back of Hattrick, the first Hattrick Greyhound race is due in just 90 seconds. Following that, we'll chat to Paddy Payne in Victoria, who's got the favourite in this afternoon's Gallywood Hurdle. That's Field Master. So we'll get Patrick up on the line shortly. These greyhounds are about to move across at Hattrick. Two Timely Reminder is at $2.60. St. Corborne Legs is at $3.10. Four Another Pearl is at $6.80. And three is Brilliant Jailer. It's at $8.80. Just over 60 seconds to bet.
Clone Yerone, who has his first starter as a sire today in the program, and Call Me Ralph, who was a win again here last Friday. Timely Reminder, the best run to date, second at Forbury Park on the wire rope lure down there. Wire rope here as well, and just thought that might help him off the lid. Some of Rugs, $1.75 for unders and $1.95 for overs. I've certainly gone unders, although my fourth selection is the 8 Corborne Legs, and that could be the telling factor, Corborne Legs, because in actual fact he is the favourite off the outside. He's placed a 9 of 17, so you can easily see him getting on the dais. But the 3 there is Brilliant Jailer. Thought the run on debut off box 4 as a $2.60 favourite was actually pretty good, and then had no luck to the first bend from box number 6 last week, so I was happy to go with her again, Brilliant Jailer. The 4 dog, Another Pearl, is placed in 3 of 5 starts on this track to date, including a 4 length second to Brilliant Ashley here, 4 back, which reads okay, and then 3rd to Dirk the Jerk and Timely Reminder. Dirk the Jerk, another for Jason Dunn. That's not here today, although Born to Boom is in a remarkably good race four. Look out for race four. If there's one race you're watching today outside of this, race number four has a heap of potential good dogs in it. Born to Boom, Nero Spirit Run, Sedgebrook Magic, Sedgebrook Bay. Matamata there, 6 centre stage, $532, 270 the 8180 for the 1, the Quinella 1830, Trifecta 8340, and the 6812 first four, $246.30. And back to Matamata shortly as they preview the day there. Loading forward, Dark Witch, Brilliant Jailer, Lady Rose Inu. Second line, Timely Reminder, another Pearl Queen Star, Corborn Lex. Timely Reminder goes favourite at 240. Let's see how it jumps off the two. Bunny to the boxes and we're set. And racing, Timely Reminder was last. Dark Witch was slow. Lady Rose gets out quite nicely. Brilliant Jailer hunts through on the inside. Another Pearl goes forward. Wide out on the track here is Corborn Legs. It's trapped around Timely Reminder, though. Dark Witch back second to last. And Inu is last as they swing the corner. Brilliant Jailer away from Lady Rose running second. Another Pearl third. And then Timely Reminder down comes Brilliant Jailer and scores from Lady Rose. Then another Pearl, Timely Reminder, Corborn Legs. Further back of the race to Dark Witch alongside Queen Star and Inu.
Three Brilliant Jailer pays $9.10 and $1.90. For second, number five there, which is Lady Rose, $6.80. And for third, should be number four, another Pearl at $2.30. Now, six after ten, Glenn Munsey, good morning.
Good morning to you, Simon, and I'm happy to say it is a very, very good morning here in Sydney. Not only is the sun out as it was yesterday, got up around the 26-degree mark here in Sydney yesterday, but the wind. This is what we need to dry our tracks out. Another thing here, it's pretty strong, the wind at my place at the moment. So hopefully the track will improve through the day at Warwick Farm. And what about Saturday, Simon? Yeah. 11 o'clock, the first race at Rose Hill on Saturday, a 10-race program.
That'll cut into Paul's Deboardly competition. We'll have to get him on early.
Well, don't think for one moment he'll be cutting into Racing HQ with Andrew between 6.30 and 10 o'clock, and then he won't be cutting into Tab Talk between 10 and 10.30, so we might get Paul to pre-record a 30-second spot. Yeah. How much hope do you reckon we've got of that?
Oh, I don't know. We've tried to get him to trim it up these last few weeks, and that's you're taking your life in your hands, aren't you? But
I'll let you deal with it.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Buns. Now, our first guest on Tab Talk this morning is Patrick Payne. He's online now. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning, Glenn.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Now, mate, can you please explain this phenomenon, which is Warrnambool? What is the aura that just surrounds this carnival?
I think it's just traditional racing, really. Like, we've been watching these races since we were young kids, and just the excitement of those horses going up and down the hill. You just don't get to see that every day, so I think you really appreciate it when it comes up.
So is it treated by, you know, the people in the industry as a jumps carnival with flat racing or an overall 3 days of racing?
Overall 3 days of racing, but I think if the jumps racing wasn't there, it'd be quite uneventful, really. Like, it'd be just like a normal meeting. I think because they have the steeplechases up and over those hills, like 5,500 metres, 33 steeples, and that makes it unique. Like, as I said, that doesn't happen every day, so people really look forward to it.
Well, mate, you're probably better qualified than anyone to talk about the effects of a Warrnambool carnival. You've ridden there on the flat, you've ridden there over the hurdles, you've trained flat runners, and you've trained jumps runners, so you're probably the most qualified person there, although you're probably one of the youngest blokes to be one of the heads of Warrnambool.
And also, we've been watching this race since we were young kids. Like, you know, a fella called Kevin Myers used to come over and stay at our place at Ballarat, and then he'd take his horses down to Warrnambool. So we had a really interest in watching his horses. So, as I said, I've been part of the Warrnambool Carnival for a good 35 years, and I'm only 39 years old.
So, mate, you've got Fieldmaster today in the Galleywood Hurdle, where he is the favourite. Now, this is going to be an effort. His last start was back on the 27th of July. How do you get not only a horse ready to run first up in a two-mile race, but a hurdler?
Oh, not that hard, really. We've got, the hurdle schools are really available to us, and he's had a lot of flat trials and that sort of thing. So it hasn't been that difficult, really. Like, and he was in work over the springtime, so he didn't get too fat. And he had about a week off over Christmas, and since then he's had, you know, he's been trialling for the last 3 months. He had a trial in February. We didn't want to put any pressure on him in a race on the flat because the ground has been a little bit hard and he can jar up a bit. So what we've used the hurdle schools and the flat trials to get him fit. And as I said, he had a flat, easy flat trial in February. So he's been trialling on the flat and over the jumps for the last 3 months.
And was the plan 12 months ago, Pat, when he came through the Warrnambool Cup Tour to line up in the galley with this afternoon?
That was the plan, but we could have averted it if the track was going to be a bit hard or we couldn't get him ready in time. That's why we lost Steve Pateman. We were undecided whether he was going to be ready in time for the Gullywood, and he had to take another ride, which is fair enough. And at his most recent trial, he trialled really well, and his recovery was excellent. So we realised he's going well enough and he's fit enough. So that's what made us decide to go towards the Gullywood. But in that meantime, Pateman had taken another ride, so we had to use Brad McLean.
Mm. So very, very happy the way the track's come up today. Just looking at his wet run, soft and heavy, 21 starts in total for 8 wins and 8 placings. So a very, very consistent there record there. So you're very happy the way the track's come up?
Exactly. Like, really thankful it did rain. Like, I'd be very concerned if it was firm, and we probably wouldn't even run him. So as I said, we didn't want to run him on the flat because of the firm ground and it might jar him up. He's got an excellent, as you said, he's got an excellent wet track record. And I remember Michelle riding him one day. It was like a heavy 14 at Ballarat. She said he goes through it like a dead four. So he's very good on wet ground.
She might have been only keeping sweet to get on him again.
She can do that. Mm. Yeah, we allow for that. Yeah, she's pretty good at that one.
And he's a black Minnaloosh, isn't he?
Yeah. Which are a bit of an awful breed, really. And he's got a bit of a quirky temperament, so he can do some strange things at times. But he's out of a really good mare, and I think, you know, he's got really good stamina, and as I said, he's got a really good strong bloodlines on the dam side.
Mm.
So, mate, how would you compare him, how he's going at the moment? Of course, he was placed in the Australian hurdle. After that Warrnambool Cup run, he went out at Sandown to win a hurdle race there. Stephen rode him that day. Then Richard Cully rode him in the Australian hurdle. And then he backed up, that was the 31st of May, and then went the 27th of July to win that race at Sandown. You know, he's had those three hurdle runs at the end of his last campaign. How would you say that he's going now in comparison to then?
Geez, I think he's going better than ever. But the only thing is, my only reservation is, you know, it would have been perfect to have a couple of flat runs just to make sure, you know, he's really race ready. There's nothing like a good match fitness racing. So that's my only concern. But I think if Brad McLean can give him a nice resting run, be very patient on him, I think he'll race as good as ever.
Now, you said, you know, you've got him ready with a couple of hurdle trials and everything like that. Do they still have point-to-point races to, you know, the possibility of get them ready that way?
No, that's a shame, because they were an excellent way of getting the horses ready, and also to teach them to jump and that sort of stuff. I'm very sure they've still got them over in New Zealand, but they don't have them here anymore.
Okay, mate. Well, how many horses do you have under your care at the moment?
Oh, I normally keep between 40 and 50 at work at time here at the farm.
Right, and apart from him, what would say be your best at the moment?
A horse like Huss and Eagle, he's a pretty good flat horse. You know, he's racing in Adelaide on Saturday in a Group 2 over there. He's pretty good. Little Atlanta Miss, she's a 2-year-old. She won the Magic Means 2-year-old in Adelaide. She's place right. She's going to be handy. And we've got two horses in the Grand Annual tomorrow. They're both in good order. So let's hope they get around safely and run well.
Well, Lord of the Song, having that win at Oakbank last start, would probably be hard to beat tomorrow, you'd think.
He's in great order. I'm really happy from a trainer's point of view. He's in fantastic order. He's really sitting well. I will say that he acts really well around Oakbank. It's just a perfect course for him. He corners really well and that sort of thing. Last year he won it over at Oakbank, and then he was only able to run third in the Grand Annual after it. But I'll say this year, maybe he's had a little bit more time to get over that run. Like Easter sold quite late last year, and it's a bit earlier this year, and he's had a bit of time to sort of recover and refuel in between runs. And he's in great order. So, and he jumped quite poorly last year. He made a few quite bad mistakes jumping right-handedly. And but these horses never really jumped right-handedly before. And when he got on his other leg, he jumped really poorly. He made 3 bad mistakes. So he did a really good job on third. This year we've changed his sort of, we've tried to teach him to jump right-handed a lot. We've changed the jumps around so he learns to jump right-handed. And it seems to have worked really well. And he went down there and schooled, and he schooled really well. So, you know, he ran third last year. I think he'll run a lot better this year.
Now, mate, how do you pick a good hurdler or a good steeplechaser? What gets you interested? Of course, you know, these are flat horses more than likely, but what gets you interested to probably approach someone to buy that as a jumper?
Well, I think you can sort of pick the type a little bit. They all come in different shapes and sizes, but you seem to pick a type a little bit. you know, heavy fronted horses, I avoid them like the plague. Those light fronted horses, I reckon they're normally good jumpers. And you, basically, just a very sound. You know, if it hurts them to land, well, then they don't want to jump. So you've got to make sure they're very sound and, you know, tough sort of horses, genuine sort of horses, and with natural stamina.
Does it help if they've got, you know, showing some sort of pace on the flat? That they're not just that real slow one batter?
Exactly right. Like, for the olden days, I think they used to tell, geez, this horse is, you know, a big, strong slug horse who runs through anything. That doesn't work nowadays. So they've got to get to the other side of the jump pretty quick. So, you know, if they've got ability to get to the other side really quick and quicken up in between jumps races, that's the horse you need nowadays.
Mate, the change in the jumps that you've seen over the last 3 or 4 years, a much, much better thing for the industry?
Yes and no. We bowed to pressure about making the jumps a lot softer and smaller, but then the horses got careless and they didn't really respect the jumps. They sort of stepped through them, and a lot of the time they'd step through them and then they'd tip themselves over and, you know, there were a chance of breaking the shoulder or breaking the neck. What they've done, they've stood the jumps up a little bit more now, and the horses actually respect them a little bit more. I would say it, I never thought I would say it, but I'd rather jump a steeple nowadays than a hurdle. Like, I think the hurdle's like, you can feel the horse, he's got a big jump in front of him, you can feel him like actually setting himself and jumping the jumps. With the hurdles, you know, we've got to make sure they're not too small, because as I said, the horses don't respect them enough and they just step through them with too much speed up. So, it's getting better and better. I think people are getting better and better educated about, you know, what horses they can jump. And the riders have got a lot better too. Like, they're told nowadays, like, if they're thinking whether they should pull the horse up or not, that means you've got to pull the horse up. You know, it's in your mind that you've got to pull it up or not. Pull it up, which is a good idea.
I noticed in the stewards' report yesterday that the stewards inquired a lot of the riders why they actually didn't pull their horses out of the race when they thought there may have been something amiss with them, or they weren't jumping well.
That's a good idea. Yeah, we all know that, you know, when a horse is starting getting tired, that's when he can make a mistake and fall. So, but I think the stewards have been really good about it, and also the jump jockeys are a lot better at it as well.
With the Shaparo tomorrow, Pat, the last run over the flat over the 2,000 metres at Cranbourne, is that just a bit of a sharpen up before an assignment like tomorrow?
Exactly. I thought it was a really good run, like 2,000 metres when he's at the stage where he's at, like, you know, on the line, he was really good. But he needs that. He likes having a good hard flat run about 6 days before the race, and then you back off and let him refuel and really, really, really bounce up. And I found that the best way to train him. So that seems to work pretty well with him. Like, you know, he's got a lot of natural stamina. If he just wants one good hard run 6 days before the race, and then you let him really bounce back, and he normally runs really well like that.
Part owned by a very, very passionate man about jumps racing, a Mr. Robert L. Charlie. He'll be down there in his splendour there, and there'll be no prouder man if he gets the chocolates here tomorrow.
Oh, Bob Charlie's great. He's the one that can identify a jumper really well. Like, you know, he buys these horses out of Queensland and northern New South Wales with terrible looking form, but they come down here and he's got an excellent record. Like, he bought a horse called Man of Class and had no breeding, had no form, and he won the Grand National. And just recently he bought another horse called Arwok, and I question whether he's going to be good enough. Anyway, but he come down here, he was a natural jumper, he won his first jumps race last year, and he looks like he's going to be really awesome for the future as well.
He might have thought it was Arwon, because Arwon is Nowra spelt backwards. Arwok is Cowra spelt backwards, and he is a bit of a country man, Bobby.
Well, maybe that had something to do with it, but anyway, it worked.
Well, mate, good luck today with Fieldmaster. Good luck with the horses tomorrow. I hope they all get around safely. I hope the horses run well for you wherever they're running in the next few weeks. But, mate, thank you very, very much, and a great insight into what makes Warrnambool so special from someone, as I said at the top there, that has seen every possible way you can. Flat, jumpers, and training them as well. Paddy Payne, thanks, mate.
Thanks very much. Good luck to everyone.
All the very best of luck to you, Pat. Now, one man who is at Warrnambool that can let us know how everything's going is Adam Hamilton. I think we might have Adam on the line now. Good morning to you, Adam.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Munns, good to be on with you guys. And, caught the tail end of Patrick there, and yeah, fantastic insight. Warrnambool number 15 for me. Started when I was a youngster, had a few years off in the middle, but it's great to be back here. And had a big tab function last night with a bit of a who's who of Victorian racing coming along. And I'll tell you what it does. It reminds you, a couple of people summed it up really well to me last night, including, you know, Simon Marshall, a good friend of all of ours in racing. He said, the great thing about when you come down here is that the difference between this and going to the races in Sydney or Melbourne is when you go to those city tracks, everyone's in a rush. They're there to do something. You know, you've got 30 seconds to say hi, and then you're moving on to do something else. Everyone comes down at Warrnambool. They're relaxed. It's just a great opportunity to catch up. And I think it, you know, it reminds everyone about, you know, the heart and soul of racing and why we all sort of grew up loving racing.
So in this relaxed atmosphere, Adam, what was the beach like this morning?
No, I must admit, Mums, I didn't pack the bathers, but I did pack the running shoes and shorts, but they haven't been taken out of the suitcase. Yesterday was one of the really confronting days weather-wise. We got a little bit of the horizontal rain. It was freezing cold. It was, you get used to that when you come down to Warrnambool, but I've got to say today is a little bit better, but no, there won't be a lot of swimming, but I did, when I just popped out to grab some breakfast earlier, I bumped into Campbell Brown, who, ex-AFL star, who tells me he's about to swim the English Channel in about a month. And I said, mate, if you want any training, I'd be popping out into Lady Bay and having a swim now.
Hey, you're still a part owner of Blackie, aren't you, Adam?
Yeah, I am indeed, Simon. So we've got our fingers crossed today. He's a horse, obviously, you know, and he's in his previous life, so to speak. He won the Group 2 Farlap up there in Sydney. He's had a lot of foot problems throughout his career. So, you know, probably to our disappointment, I don't think he's ever really fulfilled the sort of potential he showed early on. But he nearly surprised us all in last year's Wongoon when he was first up and he flew home and was just narrowly beaten in it. He really hasn't done a lot in the 12 months since. He's had a lot of problems, but just speaking to Jared McLean and his brother Brad yesterday, they're very happy with the horse. I couldn't recommend that, you know, that anyone back him with any confidence today, but all I can say is that the stable really believes that they got him in a good place. He's a happy horse at the moment. He's sound, and they think he'll run a cheeky race at Big Odds.
Yeah, the edge off the track will help him.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. He absolutely needs that with his hoof problems. You know, I think as horses get older when they've had problems, the moment they feel, you know, they feel any discomfort, they get smart and they just don't extend themselves. And I think that's what has been his problem. He's been sort of coming out of the other side of his races as though he hasn't had a run, which shows that perhaps he's not putting in. So, you know, they've done a lot of things like putting him over a few hurdles and a lot of swimming with him and the edge off the track. So, you know, I think today will tell us whether we've still got a racehorse or whether it's time to sort of, you know, bring the curtain down on his career.
Well, if he does happen to win it and Fieldmaster happens to win, it'll be the most unique race-to-race double you've ever seen because Fieldmaster is resuming in the 3,200-metre Gallywood hurdle by Black Minaloosh and then backing up in race 7 in the Wongoom handicap is Blackie by Black Minaloosh and it's a 1,200-metre flat race.
Yeah, it's versatility from the sire. Yeah, a fair bit of confidence. I mean, if you're listening to Patrick, Fieldmaster's got a tremendous chance, and there's a connection for you. Obviously, Jared McLean is training, trained Blackie, and his brother Brad's been, you know, riding Blackie in all his preparation for the race, and Brad's got the ride on Fieldmaster. So there's more of a connection than just the sire's, man.
You know, it's just a matter, and it's a good result for us at the moment. Could you keep it that way, if you wouldn't mind?
Well, as I said, I can't recommend anyone with any confidence to back Blackie. But you know, I had those mixed emotions last year when he flew home because you know everyone had been saying, "Look, he's Big Odds. Should I have something on him?" And I said, "Look, I just can't because Darren Weir." Obviously, last year, Weir ended up winning the car, and he had...
Well, come back in just a moment, Adam. They're off hat-trick.
Big time Pulse gets out well with Cheap Shot Maddie, and Vinnie Vindaloo's going to try and get around the outside. Back and behind them to watch that Gypsy and take away. They'll be followed through there by another Petty. Homebush Inquiry checked, and Kilimanjaro back towards the rear. On the corner, it's Big Time Pulse. Vinnie Vindaloo trying to chase it down there. Cheap Shot Maddie, Big Time Pulse, 2 and a week from Vinnie Vindaloo. Third to go by Cheap Shot Maddie. Then watch that Gypsy and take away. Another Petty, Kilimanjaro, and checked at the first. Was home.
That's the second at hat-trick there. Three big time Pulse pays $2.61.10. Six Finny Vindaloo, $2. Eight Cheap Shot Maddie, $1.80. Adam, you were just saying?
Yeah, I was just saying last year, you know, horses can surprise you, and that's why we're going there hopeful with Blackie today because I said to Darren Weir last year he was going to try and win the car, obviously, and the Wongoon was one of the races where he could have done it. He had three runners
they said you've got to nominate two of them to be eligible of your three to, you know, to stay in contention to win the car. And he went for his other two horses, and Blackie ended up almost winning it. So they can surprise you. So, yeah, fingers crossed that that he can do a good job for us today, guys.
I think Robert Smurden won the car a couple of years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, he did indeed. He had success as well. I mean, Robert's got a really proud record. Picked up a double yesterday. Robert's probably best known for the stable landing a lot of plungers over the years down here. But obviously, his two winners last year were relatively unfancied. So he's gone from the punter's pal so many years down here to knocking them out of quaddies and the like yesterday.
Righto, mate. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Time to jump in the shower. I know the hair's going to take probably a while, only $1.15 before the first there. So I'll let you get ready. A bit of Gatorade, probably hydration, mate, before you get back out there today.
Yeah, it's a long campaign down here. With my harness background, I know how horses feel during the old-fashioned inter-dominion campaigns with the three runs in a week, mate.
Righto, mate. And just speaking of Darren Weir, there is a market there. How many winners he'll train today? One winner only, 230. Two or more winners at 230. And no winners on the program for Darren Weir. That would be a rarity at Warrnambool. $3.90, because he kicked off the day yesterday with a very, very early double.
What are some of the horses that have been back in the Wongoom, Munt?
Okay, we'll have a look at those, Simon, before we get our next guest up and running, and that is Brenton Abdullah. But in the Wongoom today, which is race 8, I think, on the program, is it? I've got
race
off,
number 7.
No, race 7. I've gone off one runner too early there. The market in the Wongoom, where Mr. Utopia, the $4.20 favourite, is the best supported runner. We've got Tried and Tied at $4.50. Mr. Utopia, about 40% of the investment on the race so far. See Now Eagles at $9.50. Magnus Lad at $10. Tadai Tondo and Tristram Sun at $11. Blackie, Adam's horse there at $13. Tougher Than Ever at $15. General Groove at $17. Danny the Fox and Lake Centisha, both at $18. Now, away from Mr. Utopia, Lake Centisha would be the best supported runner there for the Wongoom.
27 minutes after 10, Brenton Abdullah is with us on Tab Talk. Morning, Brenton.
Morning, boys.
How are we, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Looking forward to Warwick Farm, and, you'd be looking forward to the first race there today because you're on one of the best wet trackers to go around Crown Moss. Now, was entered at Hawkesbury on Saturday, and you had another ride in that race, so you've had a little bit of luck here that the race is off, and she comes to this race on a Wednesday. You rode her at Canterbury the other day. Absolute swimmer.
Yeah, she's mare I've always had a bit of luck with, and when she finds these sorts of tracks, you know, the genuine slider heavies, that's when she can sort of put her best foot forward. So, look, the wetter the better for her, and hopefully this track stays a genuine heavy track today, and she gets a chance to put another win together.
Yeah, she goes from the benchmark 75 that she won the other day at Canterbury on the limit. She is bumped up to the 58 here, but she drops back to the benchmark 70. No concern with the 58 for her?
No concern. I think it's obviously an easier race than the other day, so hence why she gets the obviously the top weight. But she's mare in form. She handles wet tracks. Mark's got her in great form, and she's drawn soft with a race that hasn't got a lot of speed. So I expect her to sort of put herself sort of just behind the speed and then be hard to beat.
Yeah, well, she's the $3.60 favourite in the first race. Then in the third race, you're riding Mrs. Kennedy here for Chris Waller, at a winner at Newcastle 2 runs ago, but finished down the track behind Najum. Never really had a massive amount of luck. You're doing a little bit of riding for Chris?
Yeah, always had a bit of luck for Chris, and he's always sort of throwing me on these sorts of tricky horses, but this filly looks like a nice little filly progressing forward. Her run the other day, I think he just had to forgive. Sort of, Huey aimed off her right at the top of the straight, and as soon as that happened, I think he just shut her down because she never got any room from there. So I thought if she got out, she probably wouldn't have been beaten far, and she would have ran well. But her start before that, she won well, and she gets to a race where small little field, quite even, probably the top weight's the one to beat, but she's drawn soft. She's going to get all the favours in the running, been doing no work, and you can never write one of Chris's off.
Yeah, and then another couple of races off now. In race 6, this is basically the rerun of the Hawkesbury Gold Cup from Saturday, but still a number of scratchings here. And you ride the favourite here, Rugged Cross. It probably surprised plenty of people winning the last race at Randwick back on the 18th of April, but was going to be one of the favourites for the Hawkesbury race on Saturday. You'd think you'd have to draw a fair bit of improvement out of that run the other day.
Yeah, a bit disappointing. disappointing, obviously, not the riding on Saturday in the Hawkesbury Cup.
Only because it was worth $150,000, which only worth $40,000.
Yeah, we're running for $100,000 less, but look, I thought he'd be...